Crossover Health is an organization focused on people, centered on health, not illness. With their diverse care teams working as one, they use technology to unlock access for the many, not the few. Crossover Health is a fully integrated practice system employing physicians, physical therapists, chiropractors, and strength and conditioning coaches to treat the whole person. Dr. Daniel Lord is the Director of Clinical Programs at Crossover, and he is my guest today. What's up, everybody? My name is John Campioni, and this is the Rock Tape Podcast. All right, I am sitting here with Daniel Lord. Daniel, Dan, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's awesome to be here on the Rock Tape Podcast. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for taking the time to be here. I definitely appreciate you coming, and I'm very excited to ask you some questions and talk to you a little bit about Crossover Health. Your name was kind of passed along to me through Allison Evans, who is kind of our director of medical education, and you know her well, and you guys have chatted back and forth, and you know, I'm not ashamed to say this, but I think
we caused a lot of trouble together.
You caused a lot of trouble together. Well, I honestly had never really heard of Crossover until Allison had told me about it, and then just kind of emailing back and forth with you to set up this call. I guess the best question to begin with is, tell us, what is Crossover Health? Tell us what you guys are all about.
Yeah, sure. So Crossover Health has been around for about 10 years now, and we are a national medical group that has a unique kind of platform. We have an integrated team. So our definition of primary care includes the physician and nurse, of course, but also physical therapy, chiro, acu, strength and conditioning, also behavioral health. That includes health coaching. Also, you know, therapists and psychologists, psychiatrists. Okay. So we really have a full, that's our core team, and we really have a full primary care platform that we think is unique, because when you have the right people around the patient, you can solve problems in a different way. The other thing that I think really separates us is our business model. We directly contract with employers. And we've been lucky enough to contract with some of the biggest employers in the country, you know, Fortune, you know, 500 and up, in a direct contract where we don't have to succumb to, you know, the insurance world, you know, billing through CPT codes and other things. We can directly contract to take care of an employer's population, design our program specifically to target their biggest issues, their biggest problems that we can solve for them. And, you know, as you know, as a Rock Tape person, musculoskeletal care, back pain is a big cost driver for all employers. And so that our physical medicine program has been a key component of our success, a huge, you know, tool that we use within our primary care platform. Yeah. We also, not only are we a medical group, but we're a tech company. So we built our own platform that we use that's custom, allows us to not invest in tools that bill insurance, instead invest in tools that track outcomes.
Okay.
And so we, you know, not only just for the normal patient-facing stuff where you're, you know, messaging and scheduling appointments, and it's really an experience platform so that the patient feels engaged with their providers. We can take care of people outside the four walls of our clinic. We talk internally about the tyranny of the visit, meaning, you know, forever, healthcare is provided within the confines of a visit. That's the way all payment is made, is what you provide within that visit. All the communication and education that you have with a patient has to be done at that time face-to-face. There's some messaging and you know, emailing that we see happening now, but it's not robust. Yeah. And the way we communicate in the world today really is asynchronous through text message or email. And so we've built a platform where you can connect with your provider, whether it's a PT or your physician or your chiro or your strength and conditioning coach, whenever you need to. And that relationship extends beyond just the visit. And the way we price our model, it's about taking care of people at a population level. It's about improving the total cost of care. And it's a beautiful thing because providers have easy choices. It's not about volume. It's not about how many patients you saw that day. It's about, you know, how quality of work are you doing? Are you a great physical therapist? Are you a great chiro? So it changes the incentives that providers have, and it changes the way we can solve problems as a team. And the tech enables that to happen quickly, efficiently, with a great experience. So that's what Crossover does. It's what we are. We're trying to do our part to change healthcare. As mm-hmm. crazy as that sounds, we think we have a shot, and we've had a lot of growth in the last 10 years. So far, so good.
That sounds amazing too. That seems like a very daunting task too. So how long have you been with this company?
Since the start. So I was,
when did it start?
2010. Mm-hmm. I came on early 2011. I started at Facebook. I was the first chiro providing care there. Quickly grew a team, the primary care team I was telling you about, and then we grew it to a much larger scaled team, you know, and grew with that client. And then I ended up managing all of the physical medicine across the country, and now I'm the program director. So I manage all the clinical programs across services now.
So is that how it kind of blossomed? Is out of your experience working with Facebook in the physical medicine world, and just kind of working with colleagues, you guys kind of came out and started a group amongst yourselves?
Yeah. I think, my background is in sports medicine. Mm. I've always worked in integrative teams and facilities. And so I learned really right off the bat, right after I graduated, that, wow, this is a much better way to practice when you have a team approach. I've always worked closely with physical therapists and physicians. I wouldn't know how to go out on my own. I'm a unique case. But I just see so many efficiencies and just a ton of improved quality when you have a collaborative approach.
Yeah.
And so the limitation that I saw though is if it's still insurance based, you still are in a sick care model. You can't do preventative care. You're not doing as much sports medicine because that's not normally covered by insurance. Mm-hmm. Instead, similar to more of a sports med facility, and I worked with professional teams after that. We're paid to get that athlete back on the floor as fast as possible. Mm-hmm. Similar model that we have is we have a bunch of employees. We want to get them, performing at the highest level. And if there's a limitation, if there's a functional limitation, we want to improve that and also prevent it from happening again, improve their resilience. And so we have different motivations and different incentives than a private practice might. Just because of the way that we're set up, our business model, and the way we can show value to clients. And so that drives how we've designed our care, right? So that's why we have strength and conditioning coaches. We really focus on the continuum of care. So if somebody comes in with an acute injury, sure, we're going to do some passive therapy. We're going to use our rock blades. We're going to use our rock tape. We're going to, use all those tools, but then we want to, empower the patient to get off the table and to, understand the exercise and, different strategies to prevent them from having injuries again, to heal fast. And then we move them into a strength and conditioning phase. So they get more robust. So they get stronger. I think that's what everybody wants to do, but it's hard to do that with an insurance model and have any type of margin or really get paid for what you do. So, really it's an easy model to sell to employees because it's how they want to practice. And it's easy for patients because that's what they're looking for.
Yeah. Did you find that it was easy when you approached more of a business to be able to run this model? Because, if you ask practitioners, people out in private practice, the idea of going cash or just moving away from insurance at all is extremely scary to them. Did you find that it was easier with the model that you had set, or were you just like, this is what we have to do to really affect the change that we want to make and then follow our mission?
Both. I think that employers, you know, they're the real payer, right? It's not insurance companies. So it's not as scary when now we have the payer. At the end of the day, the employer is paying the bills, not the insurance company.
It's a great point.
These are all self-insured companies. So it's still scary because you're taking, especially not as much now, but when we first started, it's a new model. And sure, you know, we're outside of the normal system. But, you know, the more we learned, the more we have experience in the space, we're doing the right thing. And clients are saving dollars and patients are having great outcomes. Yeah. So it's not scary now. And we have stability because at the end of the day, employers know that they're not getting the quality they need with the amount of money they're spending. Mm-hmm. The cost of care keeps increasing every year. Especially musculoskeletal care. This is low-hanging fruit for them. There's way more imaging that than what needs to happen. Mm. There's usually a lot of care that's billed under insurance that is not medically necessary. Mm. There is overutilization of all sorts of services, whether it's injections, surgeries, MRIs. It's not complicated. It's just hard. Like if you put the right model in place and the incentives are aligned, then it becomes easier to practice evidence-based care. If you have the physician and the PT and the chiro and the patient and the payer all on the same team, it takes out a lot of the fluff. It takes out a lot of the administrative back and forth that happens when insurance plants themselves in between it. So the model, it's obvious that it's better for everyone involved.
Yeah. That's so fascinating too, because I think a lot of us, if not all of us, think this way, but we're just so stuck in that kind of insurance mentality just because, you know, it's kind of sometimes all we know, and it's so scary to kind of move away from it. So if anything, this definitely gives a lot of people hope, I guess. I want to talk more about.
Well, it's growing though. It's growing too. I mean, there are more employers putting in an on-site or investing in a near-site clinic than ever before, and it's supposed to increase next year. I truly see that this industry will provide more jobs for great PTs and chiros in the future.
Yeah. That's awesome to hear too, because, you know, I have classrooms of students every day that are hoping to, you know, make a great living with what they do and help a lot of people. So
yeah,
it's nice to see that you guys are pioneering that kind of effort. Let me ask you too, something that else that is also, I guess you could still say gaining ground is these fully integrated practices. Another kind of daunting task is trying to fully integrate and make sure that there is cooperation amongst different professionals. You know, not too long ago, a PT, a DC, an MD were all in the same room. They never agreed upon anything, right? But
chiros were always right.
What's that?
And the chiros were always right. I'm teasing a little bit.
But how was it difficult, I guess is a better question, was it difficult to really kind of adopt this fully integrated model? Are there difficulties that you could say to someone who is looking to possibly start to build a practice like that? Are there things to make sure you do, make sure you don't do when really trying to integrate everything together?
Yeah, I think there's a couple things. One, it always goes back to the business model again, mm-hmm. is if there are not aligned incentives. For example, if you are paid on your collection or you're motivated to provide a fee for a service and you're an integrated practice, your incentives will never be aligned, because if I refer to another person, I'm losing money.
Right.
Right. There's always these weird relationships. So I think it's better to have a team than not have a team, but you can break barriers down much faster if everyone's on a salary and you're paid on the team's performance. You are paid on the outcomes of the population that team serves. And, you know, that team, whatever that integrative practice is focused on a defined population as a team, and the metrics and incentives are all set up around that. Mm-hmm. Then everything else is much easier. I wouldn't say it takes care of itself, but it flows a lot better. You need a standard of care that applies to everyone, right? You can't say like, here's how we take care of back pain when somebody sees a PT. Here's how we take care of back pain when we see a chiro. And when they see the physician first, you get a different flavor.
Sure.
We have one spine pathway. We have one way to triage that is evidence-based, evidence-informed. We look at outcomes using a tool called FOTO, Focus on Therapeutic Outcomes, that measures our efficiency and effectiveness as a team. We're tracked on how many people participate in that outcomes process, and then how many cases that we complete. And a lot of those care plans are integrated. So as a team, you want to work together to improve those metrics. When you put those types of systems in place, it also decreases some of the challenge of the barriers. And then you also have to have, I think, just your recruiting from the very start. You need to find people that are already in the mindset of, hey, I want to work as a team. For the physicians, you know, a physician that wants to be a quarterback, not a solo artist, you know, yeah. Somebody who's able to pass the ball, still be the lead. This the physician leads the team, but they're very much using their team as a quarterback would, whether they need to hand the ball off or pass the ball. They do so. They understand what the different roles are, why and how you use them, and reinforces the overall standard of care. So those are some of the things that have been successful for us. And I think, yeah, business model, standards, and then the way you design your program to meet those standards and metrics is really the key.
Yeah. So give us an idea of some of the programs that you have, because I think the next question that a lot of people would have is, you know, if I was a patient, I was coming to you, you know, how does that work? You know, you bring me in from exam into treatment, all that stuff. How do decisions get made? And one thing that I'm always interested in a practice like this as well too is, you know, when somebody is just looking for preventative care, somebody is not necessarily diagnosed with anything in particular. They have your daily aches and pains. You guys talked about how you have a strength and conditioning programs. You have a lot of preventative programs as well too. So what are some of the different programs that you guys have? And, you know, what's some of the different aspects of entry that takes you into the Crossover Health world?
Yeah. I mean, what I'm hearing is kind of what does our continuum look like?
Sure.
And I would say it even starts before the treatment. We have a strategy we call digital first. And so, you know, I started talking about the tyranny of the visit earlier. Well, yeah. If you have to do the entire exam, take the whole history and educate the patient and give and do treatment all in 45 minutes or an hour or whatever, there's limitations, right? Yeah. How good is the PT doing that day? Did they have good sleep last night? how much are you on your game? How long ago did you take your board exam? and then the patient, even if you are on your game, what percentage of the information that you are educating the patient with do they remember? I've heard numbers as low as 10% of what you say the patient actually retains.
Wow.
So those are some of the ideas around why we want a digital first strategy where we're going to triage the person once they log in. Our platform is where they go first. And then we can risk stratify and say, you know, this patient needs an integrative approach, or this person just needs a one-on-one care, one-on-one treatment, or this person can go straight to fitness. Here are some programs. And so we have like a back school program that educates people on hip hinging, bending, lifting, mobility, et cetera. An ergonomics program, you know, that really sets people up for success at their desk and shows them not just the equipment, but the ergonomics of the human and how to go about, you know, a laptop in different scenarios, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And then our fitness program, we've got personal training, We also have a virtual fitness subscription where we do group classes, and our strength coaches can put a program together for you that you track on the app. And you can communicate with the coach whenever you want and update the program and visit classes. So there's a lot of stuff downstream that we send people to if they don't need one-on-one skilled PT, right? Mm-hmm. But if somebody needs more, one of the cool things is we have behavioral health as well. So depression and anxiety sometimes are comorbidities of pain, as you know. And whether it's a health coach or a therapist, depending on what that patient needs, part of our intake process is to figure out kind of where this person lands. And then it's partially their preference where they make the appointment, but we try and guide them to the right place first. For example, not everybody needs to see the physician, right? They can go direct access to PT or chiro, which saves money and time and all of that. But then, yeah, we try and get them into the right PT chiro combination. We communicate via, you know, treatment-based classification. It's not a perfect science. We don't have a cookbook, but it's the way we communicate. If somebody has a directional preference, we want to make sure we move down that pathway. If somebody could, you know, get a lot of benefit from manipulation, we do it. But that's just a tool, and then we move people into active care, right?
Yeah.
That's our model. That's how people move through it. We also do a lot of virtual care. So within a treatment plan, we have virtual visits. You don't need to see somebody every single time, in our opinion. Manual therapy is super important at the very start, probably, to decrease symptoms. But if you don't need symptom modification as a key thing, we can watch somebody squat via online, you know, meeting just as well as we can if they're in the visit room.
Yeah.
And we can prescribe them exercises and guide them. And we want to see them too. I think we don't want to be a telehealth company, but we want to use telehealth within our program in the right way. Cause we think the relationship is super important, but leveraged right, it creates more efficiency, right? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what you'd expect if you were a patient moving through our system.
So you did kind of answer this. So, but I'm going to kind of ask a question again in a way, and maybe just for somebody who is going to ask further questions, just kind of, you know, thinking about what the audience might be coming out. Somebody with an older school mentality where there's a lot of separation between even DCs and PTs. And I think you and I agree, very similar training, and there shouldn't be much of a separation between them. How would you answer someone who would have the question of, well, how do you decide if they see a PT or a DC, for instance? Because you mentioned about a physician, a primary care, you know, I think we can understand why someone would go there first, but I think a lot of people might have that question between PTs and DCs.
Right. I hear this question all the time.
Okay.
And it's also not a easy question to answer all the time, right? I could be really sarcastic right now and you know,
oh, go for it. We love that.
Right. We send people to Kairos first so the PTs don't mess it up. No, just
hold that back. Totally joking. Totally joking. We got to pull that back. Totally joking.
No, I think that there's a few things. One, what are the specialties of the PT and DC of that practice? Because there could be skill sets that are, you know, could go either way.
Sure.
You know, and then also what is the patient preference? You know, if they're like, hey, don't send me to that crazy chiro. I'm afraid of them. Well, we're not going to force them to go, right? Or somebody's like, you know, I've had an adjustment to my low back in the past. It felt amazing. It really helped me. Hey, guess what? We're going to do that. We don't want to do that as the solution forever, but we can get you moving faster, right? Mm-hmm. You know, there's some clear boundaries. So if we're talking about a perioperative case, post-surgical, right? That is PT wheelhouse. Yes, the chiro could rehab ACL probably, but why would you do that when you have a PT? That's their wheelhouse.
Absolutely.
Acute low back pain, that could go either way. But a lot of times we go to Kyra for that. I'm generalizing. They tend to be better with acute low backs with a combination of directional preference, manipulation, modalities, and kind of, you know, Cairo's always been portal of entry. We're pretty strong reducing the fire. And so a lot of times Cairo's will play that role. And it's not a standard or a rule. It just tends to be what happens. But a lot of those cases are referred to PT soon after that for active care. So right. It's a overlap. There's a close, they have the same standards. They have the same, you know, documentation. All of it is very similar. At Crossover, you could probably say it's similar to MD and a DO in the way that chiros and people practice.
Right.
If you had an exam by chiro or a PT at Crossover, I'd hope to think that you wouldn't be able to tell a huge difference. It's just, this is orthopedics, man, right? Mm-hmm. And part of it is, hey, Joe has an opening right now. And yeah. Steve doesn't have an opening for 3 days. We want you to go to the physical medicine department as soon as possible to go upstream as fast as possible. And whether it's a chiro or PT, they're going to give you the same advice because we have the same standards. We have the same strategy. And then whether you need care that looks more like a chiro versus a PT downstream, we don't really have barriers. So a lot of patients see multiple people.
Yeah.
Excellent. I don't know if that's the perfect answer. That's the best answer I can give, though.
I don't think there is a perfect answer, but I think that is a great answer too. And I mean, me personally, that's my philosophy behind it is I don't understand why there's a huge separation between the professions because, you know, as you see newer docs coming out in both fields, we are learning very much the same thing. We can work together really effectively, but the best point that I think you had was that you're not going to see someone based on the letters behind their name. You're going to see them based on the practitioner that they are.
Yes.
And what's available to you. So if you needed someone who's more of an orthopedic specialist, maybe it's a PT, maybe it's a DC. If you wanted someone who's a little bit more apt in, I don't know, neurology, going into manipulation specifically, stuff like that. Not to say that either profession is lacking in anything,
right.
It's just about who is available and who is the best fit for you too. I love that personally.
Yeah, that's how we stand.
I think that's fantastic. Tell us a little bit more about this tech platform. You mentioned it at the outset that you guys are also, you know, can be considered a tech company. You alluded to some of the different availabilities that you have to a patient. From a patient's perspective, how can they take advantage of the technology?
Well, we want to be able to reach you, whether you live right by our clinic or you're across town or you are remote. You know, today's workforces are distributed. People work from everywhere. And yeah, it's good to have a brick and mortar clinic close to a headquarters to capture as much as possible. And then we have near-site clinics in hot spots where larger populations of employees or their dependents live, but that can't capture all of the eligible employees that we can reach. So we really need a robust platform that is driven via the primary care team to reach all of those distributed populations. So that was the problem to solve for us. We started as a clinic builder, but we've really become much more than that. And our tech platform, we want to also be much different than a teledoc or a point solution that, you know, only does PT or only does, you know, derm or only does sleep, right? Those are really valuable and a lot of them do great work, but it doesn't solve the total cost of care for a company and benefits managers can't manage 50 different point solutions and figure out how to aggregate them and deploy them across their employee base. It's just impossible. It's silos care more, actually. And so that is kind of the basis behind, or the thesis behind our platform is, you know, if we create the relationship and it's your primary care team and you have a defined team that you can reach out to whenever as your health activist team, then that changes the game. It increases utilization. It connects the unconnected. It reduces the silos. So you know, the other thing I mentioned is the tyranny of the visit. If you're able to solve problems with your physician or your PT outside of the visit, that's really cost effective. And guess what? Most of healthcare is not an emergency, and most of healthcare is just a conversation.
Most
of it, right? If you take a great history, the rest is just confirmatory. So we try and do as much as we can on the platform and provide a great experience for patients to improve their relationship with their provider in a manner at which we communicate today. So, you know, one of the things that we see is millennials don't usually have a primary care physician. And there's a lot of reasons for that. But if they were able to connect with them and they were connected to their whole healthcare team and they were a defined team that was responsible for you, you're not just dialing into a random person, but you have the same care team that's responsible for you. Mm-hmm. That creates trust. And then on top of that, you use technology to communicate, whether it's more of a text messaging, email type of interaction. You know, with today's world, you can easily send videos, send images, deploy different apps, have different APIs. So different point solutions can integrate with our hub. You know, we use several in physical medicine, for example. MedBridge integrates with our platform. And whether we see them in a visit or not, we can send them an update to their exercise program. We can send them, you know, what they need from their rock tape tools to decrease symptoms, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, the moral of the story is we want this platform to reach anyone, anywhere, be able to be the source of truth for their healthcare, navigate them through the system, and it's one simple place that they can go to. It's not a siloed experience. There's not a separate tool or separate thing for every type of provider, whether they are getting their primary care or they need to navigate and get specialist care. It's one simple place that they log into. So that's what our tech platform does.
Yeah. And I think I know the answer to this question, but I'll ask it anyways. You know, you talk about everybody being in one facility or at least close, and then the technology available. I have to believe this improves patient compliance with a number of different categories. I mean, when people start getting past, oh, you need to see this professional or this specialist, how many people, I don't know the statistics, how many people just don't do that too?
Yeah,
so when you have everything in-house, you have the tech, they do things.
What we call our product is the connected system of health. And it does exactly what you were just saying. So our care navigators work in the same clinics side to side with the same care team. And that care team is responsible for a defined population. And so if somebody needs to get an image or go to an MRI center, we know which images, which MRI centers or imaging centers are cost effective. Don't go to Stanford, go to, you know, the imaging center down the street. You're going to get the same quality, but you're going to pay triple at Stanford for no reason, just because of the name Stanford. Or what are the outcomes of that orthopedist? He does, how much, what percentage of injections does he do? How much does he communicate with the PT? What was the experience and the outcome of the care that he gave? We know all this stuff through data, and our care navigation team can absolutely improve compliance, because we'll schedule the appointment for the patient. We'll take care of the payment. We'll take care of all of the logistics so that they don't have to, and they know that they're getting the best price for the best quality. So it's great. It really is a connected system from your PT in Cairo through the primary care, through the specialist network.
And I think that's taking advantage of the trends in society now, with just everything being available on a device, the idea of everything being streaming, while that isn't a perfect example, you know, it's to that thought process where you're making things more available to people. You're also making it a little bit more simple, and you're kind of almost in a way doing the legwork for people. You talked about the research available for people to, you know, find a specific place. It's very much like some of those lists that you see online is like, you know, for a plumber, for instance, you have a lot of these tech companies that their sole purpose is to evaluate, you know, the value of certain services. This seems like that for musculoskeletal and mental health, you know, just healthcare in general.
That's right.
That's fantastic. So tell us where you guys are located.
We started in the Bay Area. So most of our clinics are around the Bay and in San Francisco. But we also are up in the Northeast in Washington. We're in Boise, Idaho. We're in Texas and San Antonio and Houston and Dallas, and we're also in New York, in the Northeast, outside of Boston, Philadelphia, and we are going to be growing a lot in Florida, Texas, California, and Washington in the coming year.
That's awesome. Great. So if you were a patient, or even maybe a student coming out of school, becoming PTDC MD, that would love a great place to go to work with and or work for, how could someone get a hold of you or go to Crossover Health directly?
You can always go to crossoverhealth.com. We have a careers page that lists any opportunities. And then, you know, I'm on LinkedIn a lot. Feel free to look me up and connect with me. I'm happy to answer any questions anyone has. Also want to shout out to Allison and Steve Capo and the Movement Maestro. they've always been really good friends. They've always provided amazing education, guidance, thought leadership. I went to school after Steve graduated at Palmer West, and he was always somebody that I looked up to and continue to. I think he's one of the great visionaries in the chiropractic profession of all time, actually.
I agree.
I always love hearing the maestro do her work. She's a special presenter, speaker, thought leader. And then Allison, I would blame most of this on Allison.
You mean blame in the most loving way possible, right?
Yes, of course.
Well, you picked three of the best right there. So great way to end that one. If you guys are looking to work with a great place that is all about your benefit and your health, go check out Crossover Health at the website. Go check out Dr. Lord at LinkedIn. Any other social media you want to give out for anybody to get a hold of you?
Yeah, I'm on Facebook as well.
There you go.
Spend time there.
So, I would think so, given your history, right?
That's right. I love both platforms.
Awesome. Cool. So, Daniel, thank you so much for taking the time. I really appreciate it.
All right, man. Thanks a lot.